From NPR News in Washington, I'm Paul Brown.
Today is an important milestone for nuclear security and nonproliferation and for U.S.-Russia relations.
President Obama just after signing a new strategic arms reduction treaty with Russia. It applies to long-range weapons, committing both countries to big cuts in their strategic weapons arsenals. And it includes clear verification rules. Here's Russian President Dmitry Medvedev displaying his knowledge of at least one English language catchphrase just after he signs the document. The win-win situation must be seen by lawmakers in both countries as well as presidents. The treaty cannot take effect until U.S. and Russian legislatures ratify it. In the U.S., that could prove problematic if Senate Democrats can't come up with at least one Republican vote. Without it, they won't have enough for ratification. Opposition leaders in Kyrgyzstan say they've assumed power and driven the president out of the capital. This comes after 2 days of deadly street protests that claimed more than 70 lives. Protesters expressed anger over rising utility costs and rampant corruption in this small Central Asian nation. As NPR's David Green reports, there is still unrest in the capital, Bishkek.
Crowds are still gathering around government buildings today. If the violence has subsided, the anger hasn't. 22-year-old Nurlan Mukumbayev said he was stunned Wednesday when he saw fellow protesters gunned down.
They can use water, they can use gas, they can beat us, but they do not have the right to kill us.
Mukumbayev vowed to remain out there, sending a message that the streets belong to the people. Meanwhile, an opposition leader, Rosa Otunbayeva, announced she's at the helm of an interim government that will hold power for 6 months before new elections. That said, the target of this week's protests, President Gurmanbek Bakiyev, has not resigned. He's believed to be in the south of the country, huddling with supporters. David Green, NPR News, Bishkek, Kyrgyzstan.
Federal officials say a diplomat from Qatar prompted a bomb scare on an airliner by trying to smoke in the restroom, but criminal charges are said to be unlikely. Deborah Christopher of Boulder, Colorado, was riding in the plane that took off from Washington, D.C. She says she and other passengers were told very little.
There was just no information about what was going on, and then when they did open the door, police officers came on and handcuffed a gentleman and took him off the plane.
A military escort scrambled and tracked the plane to its destination, Denver, after staff members reported a disturbance. Rescue crews at a West Virginia coal mine are heading into the mine this morning. They hope to find four miners still missing after Monday's explosion there, which killed 25 people. This is NPR News. Today's first round of the Masters Golf Tournament is generating tremendous interest. The first major of the year also marks the comeback for world number one ranked Tiger Woods. He hasn't played competitive golf since he became embroiled in a tabloid-fueled sex scandal that broke late last year. NPR's Tom Goldman is at the Masters course in Augusta, Georgia.
96 competitors tee off today, but even more than usual, it's all about Tiger Woods. He has spoken to the press, he's played practice rounds in front of supportive galleries, but now it's game time, and what will that mean for the golfer who's dazzled the sports world for the past 13 years and disappointed many for the past 4.5 months? Will his golf game show rust? Will he tamp down his temper and be more accessible to spectators, which he's promised as part of the change in his personal life? Yesterday, Augusta National Chairman Billy Payne sent a stern message to Woods during Payne's annual Masters Week press conference.
I hope he now realizes that every kid he passes on the course wants his swing, but would settle for his smile.
Woods, a four-time Masters champion, tees off in the next-to-last group this afternoon. Tom Goldman, NPR News, Augusta.
A new estimate by Forbes magazine shows the New York Yankees baseball team worth nearly twice as much as any other major league team. Forbes values the Yankees at $1.6 billion. Boston is next at $870 million, and Forbes ranks the New York Mets third at $858 million. The Yanks and the Red Sox have risen in value over the past year, but Forbes says the financial value of the Mets is down by 6%. I'm Paul Brown, NPR News, Washington.